Today we have a very special guest, Trey Xavier from Gear Gods. You probably, if you've watched this little website called YouTube, you've probably seen him on there if you watch anything guitar related. It's kind of a big deal. And plus, he's a great musician as well.
I am a big deal.
Welcome, Trey.
My mom said I was a big deal. My mom said.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Been a big deal.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
How are you guys doing?
Spicy.
Size and hesitation all around. So that sounds about like 2023.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in the middle of filming a video. Well, the listeners can't see it, but you can see all the junk going on behind me. So a blues driver video of all things.
What do you need all those chickens for? That's cruel, Brian.
That's just for fun. You know, just to keep things interesting.
Those are Brian's chickens.
don't touch them. Don't mess with
them. Why is that one hanging upside down? What is this? What's that drawing on the ground? What are you doing?
It's kind of a thing. Kind of a thing I do.
Do it differently out there in Martinsville.
This has gone down a dark path quickly. I think
got real weird real unleashed? Fast.
Yeah. Welcome, Trey. Very nice to have you amongst us sensible folk for a conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Yep.
I'm already having a great time.
Trey did a video that I absolutely loved. It's been 2 weeks ago now, but as we record this, it was called The Secret Price of the Creative Life. And I watched this video and I'm like, I 100,000% identify with where he's coming from here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a creative person, you've got to watch this video because like it literally explained myself to me completely. I'm like, that's exactly how I feel.
You feel seen.
Mm-hmm. Years of therapy condensed into one video.
Yes. Like, why did I waste all that money? You know?
It was born out of frustration and my own need to sort of explain those things to myself. Usually when I'm making a video of any kind, I'm working through all of those things for myself in a way. Even if it's something, even just a tutorial about a topic that I know a lot about or know what I'm talking about, as I'm working through it, I'm teaching myself sort of or learning things that I didn't comprehend in a way that was as useful as it could have been or whatever. Like, and this one, I was just living a rough bit, and I still kind of am in a way. I've been in sort of what I would call a existential crisis, like a content existential crisis, which is hard for people like us, for creatives, because we identify so strongly with our creative output, right? You think of it as a representation of yourself. So when it's not going well, it feels like you are not doing well, which isn't necessarily true, but it does take a bit of a toll. And I wasn't necessarily surprised by a lot of other people identifying with this feeling as well. But it was really nice to get a lot of feedback from people like yourself, dropping into my DMs, leaving comments saying like, wow, yep, I feel that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was, it needed to be made as far as I was concerned. And it was cool that people got it, you know?
Yeah. So you said a content existential crisis. So, and I take that to mean like, you feel like you've been, and I'm putting words in your mouth. Maybe you feel like you've done videos for everything and you're like, where do I go from here? Is that what you mean?
Sort of. Yeah. Basically, I just have been feeling like I don't know what exactly it is that I want to do. So back in October, I changed the name of the channel from Gear Gods to just Trey Xavier. You may have seen that.
Sorry. I still say Gear Gods.
No, that's okay. Well, Gear Gods does still exist. It's a website.
The website.
Yeah. And all that. But it's the channel became just all about songwriting and music creation. But because that's what I actually care about. Like, I like gear. Once again, the folks at home can't see this, but I am surrounded by guitars. And just gear in general. Obviously, I did gear-centric stuff for a long time. But that's not the thing that I care about. I'm not interested in capacitor values and that stuff. I leave that to the geniuses such as yourself. I don't like... I think all of that stuff is very interesting, but to me, the important thing is how can I use it to create music? Like, that's what we're here to do. So that's what I have been doing lately, but it's, that's a very broad topic. And what I'm going to do specifically is still a little bit up in the air, and this is like almost a whole year later that I'm still kind of like, and it's just hard because a lot of the stuff I've been doing hasn't really been popping off with the audience as much as I would like. And it's hard when you think you're doing something that's good and it just doesn't really take off. That doesn't mean that it's not good, only that it's, what other kind of feedback can you get from the outside world aside from just... people liking it or it doing well in terms of the numbers or whatever.
The internet's a funny place when it comes to things like videos and your channel. Like, obviously, time plays a big factor, and you've been going, like, I was watching videos earlier from 7 years ago, so you've been going a long time. Yeah. So naturally, videos that have been out a long time will climb up the list because of time. But also... Yeah. There's no doubting, and we know this from our own experience, that search engine usage determines very much video ranking, which is why one of your top videos is how to restring a Floyd Rose guitar, because it is something that a lot of people get frustrated with. And those videos will always kind of bubble to the top. One of our videos is in a top sort of ranking videos in a very similar vein. But what I do enjoy about your channel is, and you probably don't see it from being inside your channel, is the growth in all the different areas, because you have got arms that have kind of created themselves over recent times, specifically the comedy, which I really enjoyed. But also, it reminds me of a sort of philosophy that's taken me about 47 years to figure out, which is, if you do just take whatever idea, whether it's yours, whether it's original, whether it's someone else, and just work it through yourself, doing that itself will make an original idea. And I think you're 100% right in your creativity video that we are the harshest critics on ourselves. But if we're just progressing, if we're just doing stuff, stuff will happen. And I think that is what I'm seeing with your channel as well. Like I say, I've enjoyed the comedy stuff. I really liked the answer phone.
Sorry,
you don't call it an answer phone over there, do you?
What is an answer phone? Voicemail?
Voicemail.
Answer phone. What's an answer phone? What the hell is an answer phone?
Over here, like we still call them answer phone messages based on the first kind of tape based systems, because it's England, we are antiquated. But no, I really enjoyed
left the message on the wiggly tape recorder receiver returner.
And I particularly liked the hilarious Harry Potter one. But
thank you.
No, it was all good.
It's funny because until you said answer phone, I was going to say wow, hearing it summed up like that in a British accent makes me feel very officially better about myself. And then you said,
I've done something good.
No, but really, thank you. I appreciate that. But what you've pointed out is that, or what you've sort of stumbled upon is the problem that I'm having, which is that I want to do a lot of different things and I don't really see them as being super different from each other. But YouTube as a platform, wants you to do essentially the same thing over and over again, or at least the same type of content on the same channel. And that's how you get those big successful numbers. And I didn't realize that until it was far too late. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't necessarily... It's not necessarily too late, but it is, you know, I could have been doing much, much better if I had done one thing and stuck with it from the beginning. Even when it comes to gear stuff, it was kind of all over the place. And there's no, you know, there isn't like a handbook that they give you that's like, oh, just do one thing.
Quite the opposite, actually. We're not going to tell you anything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Guess what you need to do next.
Mm-hmm. But I contain so multitudes.
Much. Yeah.
You know, and like, and I contain ADHD very strongly, which is a superpower in many, many ways. But, you know, the audience doesn't know what to expect from week to week. I put up a video this week that was me turning the Jonah Hill text message into a surf rock song. And I thought it was like a perfect little piece of like songwriting related content that, you know, it was latching on to something that was trending, and it bombed really badly. It completely tanked. And it was, I think it was maybe like too comedy, or I don't know, maybe not what people are expecting. My audience doesn't care. And it bombed. I think it turned out really good and I liked it a lot. But it's sort of a thing like when somebody subscribed on maybe a video that was like pretty pure tutorial, you know, something about programming drums or whatever. And then this video comes up next and they're like, oh, I don't want to see that. Or even not necessarily subscribing, because subscribers aren't quite as important anymore, but it's the expectations of the viewer, and the platform, and most platforms aren't geared towards that kind of diversity, like what they would call variety content, which I never really thought of myself as doing variety content. But that is for sure what it is. And I'm trying to not do that, but choosing what I'm actually going to do is very difficult. And even not on a social media, even not like as related to social media, as creatives, artists, people, think about how you're known to the world, right? Think about like, your legacy, whatever. You know, we all do lots of stuff. But like when I hear somebody go like Wampler, like Brian Wampler, I think of pedals, right? That's the the legacy on a broad scale that you've left so far. That's not the only thing you do.
Yeah, you know, that's like, why my motivational talk video didn't do well at all.
Yeah, but it doesn't like, and that fucking sucks. But there's only so many things that we can be known for. Like, honestly, in a very broad sense, if we are known for even one thing, that's great. Like,
that's better than most people get to
experience.
That's
way better than most people. Mm-hmm. And you know, I am technically a videographer, a songwriter, a guitarist, an engineer of some kind. Did I already say video editor? Like, I do so many things. I do so many things. I guess I'm acting because I do comedy skits. Like, I'm a writer and a comedian, I guess. But like, what am I going to be known for? Or what's the thing that I want the world to care about when they, or think about when they hear my name? And right now it's a bit of a mishmash. And that's a big struggle for the creative in general, because I don't know about you guys, but I want to do everything. I want to do all the things all the time. I just downloaded Unreal Engine last week. What am I doing? What am I? I'm gonna be now. I'm gonna
massive
be doing
rabbit hole.
3D honestly, animation. Come on,
yeah.
Like
it's amazing.
That's stupid.
It's a huge rabbit hole to go down.
It's funny that you pointed it out, like Brian specifically, about the what are you known for? Yeah, pedals is what Brian's known for. Yet he's done this podcast for how long now?
It's 2013 or 14.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every week, pretty much without fail. You know, I've been on since 16, I think.
Yeah.
Right. But yet people still know me more for my show than this one, even though this one's downloaded about the same amount of times, roughly.
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, Blake, he does his interviews. I'm like, I also do this show every single week and have for years. But no one's like Blake from Chasing Tone. No one says that.
Yeah, but here you are, and you're doing the thing, and it's a matter of like the world's perception, what they get in front of them the most times. You know, that's all it's really going to be. Like, I don't know, you guys have kids. Like your kids don't know you for the podcast or for the pedals. You know, like that's a perspective. What I've been recently sort of considering is that we've got a very limited amount of time on this earth, but just in the week too, you know, I have a podcast, I have multiple YouTube channels at this point because I want to do different things, but now I'm going like, well, what's worth putting my time into? Like, what's a rabbit hole? Like, I have to be more careful about the rabbit holes that I go down. And I hate that. I hate it.
Yeah.
But, you know? Again, going back to your creativity video, you have to listen to your own words. Because I have to tell myself, too, if you're enjoying the journey, you're probably going to be creating something worthwhile. Because that really comes out when you see the videos that it's clear to see you enjoy making, your personality shines. Same with Brian. When I see Brian's videos, and I see a lot of Brian's videos, some we will never talk about again. You know, I can tell when he's enjoyed the subject and he's gone off in a complete tangent, or, you know, when perhaps it's not something that's as close to his heart and he's working at it. But if you're enjoying yourself and you're enjoying the creativity in yourself, then I think you are absolutely on the money. You are succeeding at life. Because when we die, really, the ultimate measurement is, have we been good to the people we love and have we enjoyed every single day?
And how many fuzz pedals do we own?
Delay pedals. But yeah, sure, fuzz too.
Well, I mean, so I did that AI video a few weeks ago. And so to Trey, you probably didn't see it because no one saw it.
I don't watch any videos. Yeah. I don't watch almost any.
It was one of those things.
Hard,
like,
when you're making them, it is like, hard.
All of my friends are YouTubers, and the only person I actually watch regularly is Rudy Ayoub, and that's about it.
Yeah, I never. He's a good guy. But you know, I spent I probably had an entire week making this video about using ChatGPT to create a circuit like Reb did with the latest pedal. And I thought, this is going to be great, you know, and I put it out and I was looking at the view counts, you know, in an hour or 2 hours. I'm like, this thing is dying drastically. And I'm like, this is the type of stuff I do. Why don't people like this video? And it's so frustrating because like, it feels like I can't figure out what the YouTube algorithm wants me to do, because some stuff is like 100,000 views. And then the next time I do a very similar video, but with a different pedal, it's like 20,000. I'm like, what is the difference here? So
it's all very confusing too, because people, sometimes you try to make things that people tell you you want, like, oh, I've been wanting to see something around this particular topic. And then you do it and there's no response. That's like the most frustrating
thing. Yeah. Well,
not even the one guy. He won't even comment on it.
No, he won't come back. The Ranger FX mini bar that came out years ago.
Yeah.
Me talking about it had got, you know, whatever, however many 100,000 views on TikTok. And the number one comment was like, what's it sound like? Well, I made that randomly right before I went to bed, just not thinking anything about it. It took me literally 30 seconds and it blew up. So then I spent some time and actually put different liquids in it and showed people what it sounded like. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
Like a couple hundred views. It's one of those things where it's so hard to predict that the only way you can really, in my mind, the only way you can really hit on anything is just keep at it. Once in a while, one will pop.
Yeah, that's basically how it goes. There's not really an easy way to predict whether or not something's going to go well. And if you try to, usually you're going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And you have to, if you want to be happy, you have to sort of divorce in your mind the idea that working hard on something equals it being good or that it's going to be successful, because the two things just don't coincide. It's going to be partly right place, right time, whatever. And there's things that you can do to optimize, but at a certain point, we're what I like to call digital sharecroppers. Like, it's not our property that we're working on, right? It's not our rules. It's whatever social media platforms, they're making the rules and we're just sort of renting the land. And, you know, and that sucks. But it's still so much better than anything else I've ever done that it's hard to like be really miserable. It's you know, it's
like, that is true. It's like
I used to deliver pizza, you know?
I don't know. I still find plenty of space to be really miserable. I think it's an important feature.
Yeah. That's something important to remind ourselves about too, though, right? Sometimes I look at people like yourself, Trey, and I'm like, man, I really should be doing more YouTube stuff. But when I go to actually do it, most of the time I'm like, I don't really like doing this. I wish I could just be doing another interview because that's what I like doing. And so I sometimes beat myself up about my lack of YouTubing. And then I realize that when I go to, you know, meet people at various conventions and everything, and I talk to all the other content people who are mostly YouTubers, none of them like doing interviews almost exclusively. Like, none of them like doing interviews, not like doing them with me or something, but they don't like conducting the interview almost exclusively. That's not everybody, but almost everybody. They told me that many times here just recently at NAMM and whatnot. And so I just realized, I'm like, well, I just kind of have to keep the hammer down on what I like to do and what seems to be working for me and not get too caught up in the comparison game of like, oh, well, this guy got to do this and this girl got to do this. I'm so many light years ahead of where I thought I would ever be in life doing what I like to do that the comparison game just beats you up and gets you nowhere. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. It just makes us feel dumb. And you have to realize that everybody else is doing it too. They're like, oh man, I wish I could, so,
and
you know,
at all levels,
yeah.
You know,
at all levels, and they all feel the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think you're going to be happy when you've got a £10 million apartment in, you know, wherever. I don't know where would be good in Indiana, Bri. Is there
anywhere but Martinsville, which is kind of like the armpit of Southern Indiana.
And Indiana is the armpit of America. So
exactly. Exactly.
The armpit of the armpit.
Exactly.
But, yeah. You think... No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say that there's always, you know, you get your 10 million, you look at the 100 million, and it goes on and on and on until you stop comparing yourself. Because, again... self-reflection and what I perceive, because I look at what, you know, Blake, you do, and I'm like, what an amazing life. You interview people. You should never stop doing that. I wish I was doing it. Whereas you look at it and go, oh, I wish I was doing more or whatever. And same with you, Trey. You know, I think, yeah, you're making some funny videos. You're musically ridiculously gifted. You've obviously got a huge perception. And then I look at Brian and think, what are you doing with those goats? You should not be trying to install computer chips in their brains, Brian.
I'm usually thinking, I wish I made something that made money. You know?
But when you think about that, it doesn't. But when you don't think about it, Brian, when you least expect it, you're going to, you know... The computerized goat pedal will be a big hit. But
Brian, I could have told you that computerized goats weren't super in demand in the market. Yeah, you could have just asked me that question.
From extensive research.
You didn't do any market research among goats.
You didn't ask the goats, did you?
I didn't. So I have a question, Trey.
Sure.
I think you and I did like a video years ago with Tyler Larson and Dovi Das and a bunch of other people.
Oh my God. Yeah. The party one. That was so much fun.
And I could have swore I remember you telling me that you used to be in theater in school.
A little bit. I took a lot of theater classes in high school and I was in a couple terrible musicals. I was in Oklahoma and Bye Bye Birdie. My big starring role in middle school was Matthew in Anne of Green Gables. So I got to do a very dramatic death scene. Sorry if that's a spoiler for anyone.
I haven't seen it yet, Trey.
Jesus. Oh, no. I got to delete that part now.
You mean Matthew dies? I didn't know.
And actually, I probably brought it up because I initially wanted to be an actor.
Do you feel like this is, like, looking back, did that prepare you for what you're doing?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think, like, was it a huge help? Did it?
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, not that I got like a solid theater education from my class at Arlington High School, where it was like, but just anything really, just an outlet and getting to practice and stuff. I'm not going to win any. Oh God, what's it called? Emmy? Grammy? Grammy's the music one.
Emmy's for TV.
Yeah, what's the movie one?
Oscars?
Tony's theater. Oscar. I don't even know what it's called that I'm going to win. That's great. I don't want one. So I don't have to know. But I'm not going to be winning any of those anytime soon. But there's a lot of YouTubers who didn't have any kind of theater, can't act at all, and it shows, you know? So I have a little bit of an advantage in that sense. Like, I do a lot of these videos where I'm playing several different parts, which is like, why do I do that to myself? But like, I'm doing the the Eddie Murphy thing, playing multiple characters, and it's kind of just the idea that I could do it, like just the belief that I would be able to do that. Is the kind of confidence you get from even from trying, from going to school for it a little bit, or whatever, and wanting to be able to do it. Like, I think a lot of people wouldn't even think of that, So that was nice. But yes.
What gave you the idea? I guess not the idea, because you knew. Now, let me back up a little bit. That was a terrible introduction to a question. I mean, let me just start that all over.
Oh, good job, Brian.
So I'm thinking like, Trey, you're playing guitar and you're like, I'm going to make a YouTube video. I mean, did you go into it thinking I'm just going to do a video? Or are you like, I'm going to make a channel and I'm going to try to make a career out of this? Like, what was your path to this?
Yeah, so I came into it completely sideways. Like, I'd made videos before, nothing like that I ever put out or anything really, but just, I went to a summer camp where they like showed us some video editing and stuff. But the first videos that I did that I put on YouTube, were because of the job. So very briefly, Gear Gods, was not my creation. From the beginning, I was an employee first of the website, and then like I basically started the YouTube channel, but it wasn't mine,
Gotcha. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did a video about it when I changed the name of the channel.
That's right.
That's all right. So if you want more details, basically I bought the whole thing in late 2020. So the first videos that I did. It was kind of nice that they were low stakes, because I was just like, I don't know, I guess I'll try this. This seems like a thing people are doing. I did some interviews with a band that was in the studio about their gear. That was the first episode of Rigged. And then I did a gear review because I'd just seen other people doing them. And I was like, all right, I'll try this out. Why not? We'll see what happens. So I literally borrowed a guitar from a student who had just bought it. And it had just come out. It was the first iteration of the Keith Marrow KM7, mm-hmm. whatever. And it's hilarious watching that video back because it's like, I borrowed the guitar and I borrowed the camera and I had no idea what I was doing. And I liked doing it a lot. I just didn't really like, I don't know. It was very intuitive for me. I will say that I didn't, you know, I didn't have to like look up how to do the things. Like How do I put this? I didn't have any like really formal education in it, and I didn't do any research or anything. It just felt right. Like I knew what I was doing and what I was going for.
You just set it up and went for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw the path to how to get to the completed product. And the whole process of doing it and winding up with this final product of a video that I could put out and share with people and get feedback was very addictive. And so I just kept doing it and it, you know, I was getting good feedback and stuff. So I just kept going with it. And really what I figured out when I was a little bit more analytical about it is that it just combines so many of the things that I love into one neat little, you know, package. Mm-hmm. So many of the things that I love and that I'm good at, right? Like making a YouTube video, at least the way that I do it, combines all, okay, right? I have to, I'm making music usually of some kind, probably writing something. I'm doing acting to a degree, depending on what kind of video, but I'm, you know, public speaking, acting sort of stuff. I'm creating something, making a thing that's part of it. I'm doing video, which I also love. I did not know when I started that I love video so much, but at this point I've shot full on music videos and like every different kind of video. And I got way into lighting and all that. And so I love that stuff too. And talking to people, you know, and it combines all of these things that I love into one thing. And so I was like, oh yeah, yep. Gonna do more of this. mm-hmm. And previously I'd wanted to just be a musician, you know, but really this is the best possible outlet, I think, for a musician in 2023 and has been for the last few years, you know, like being able to directly connect with people, and put out your creative vision and have complete control over it is great. And I say musician, but really, really for anybody, just being able to go direct to your audience is completely sick. But, you know, once upon a time, all you had to do was be a musician, play your guitar, and there was a bunch of other people who would do all the other stuff. You know, that's true. I am way down every rabbit hole now.
Yeah. And you said you have multiple channels as well. And like how we have another channel called Chasing Tone Podcast, believe it or not. I know it's original name, but, and we tried throwing some of these videos out there for a little bit and it like just didn't do much, a couple hundred views or something. And so like, during the whole process, I'm like, how starting a channel is really hard right now. You know, I mean, what?
Yeah.
How did you get yours going? Because you're basically building an entire audience from scratch, right?
Yeah. I mean, basically it's just me trying to figure out what is going to work the best with the, not just the algorithm. Like it's not just like the algorithm, it's how people perceive what I'm doing. And so I had started a second channel when I announced the name change. It was initially going to be more, I don't know, sort of behind the scenes stuff, whatever, like personal vlogs and crap. Mm-hmm. And what I wound up doing with it is all of the like pure comedy stuff. Any kind of video that's just a comedy skit is going to go on there, because you, once again, variety content does not do well on YouTube, like for a channel. Basically, I'm trying to be more consistent with the things that I'm doing, and I still want to do pure comedy skits. Like Rudy will come over and we'll shoot like three or four videos in a day of just like short comedy skits. And that's ultra fun. And I love doing that. And maybe more than doing the other stuff, but it's, you know, it doesn't make any, like I'll put those on the, I've in the past put those on the main channel and they just bomb. They tank really bad. And that's, it kind of makes sense because if, once again, if you were expecting some kind of songwriting tutorial from me or in the past a gear review or whatever, and then you just get this silly video, it's like, ah, what is this? I'm not going to click on that. Or, you know, or whatever. So even though it doesn't matter if they're really good or if I had a great time making them or whatever, they just... So, yeah, and then I have a podcast channel where I put up the videos from my podcast, which is called How Songs Are Made. And then I have a Twitch Clips channel, which I haven't really been doing a whole lot of, but I, yeah, there, it's just like, it has been clips from my live streams on Fridays. And then it's, I don't know, like if I do, sometimes I'll just sit down and do a bunch of, just like react to a bunch of videos on stream just for funsies. And maybe I'll put up one of those. It's something I'm just experimenting with. It's kind of like a low effort Skunk Works thing that just exists. And yeah, it's like basically the recommendation that I have for people. If you're going to go for it and do what we do, is to separate it out like that. Like if you have a new thing that you want to do, make a new channel for it. And that sucks because once, like you said, it's building a new audience from scratch, but you don't want to be mixing it up that much on between the channels. And I don't make the rules. I don't like it at all, but it's the way to go. And especially if you're, you know, if you're just getting into it or whatever, like a mate, if you're going to pull off a major change in content, like I was doing on the main channel, you have to be like, it's one thing to go from one thing to one other thing. You know, a lot of people will do it, get big doing one thing for a while, maybe streaming gaming or something. And then it becomes more about their personality. And then they can, that's cool because then they can kind of do anything. It kind of becomes like a vlog channel or whatever. But unless you can pull that off, you know, just doing a bunch of different things is just not a good idea on the same channel. So, anyway, like it's for me, this is the strategy that I'm going to be doing to sort of be more, to stay creatively fulfilled and be able to do all the things that I want to do, but also hopefully have a little bit more success when it comes to YouTube, which is really the thing that I love it. You know, I love YouTube, even though right now it's, I feel like I'm being treated badly by YouTube. Like, I feel like the relationship is a bit strained. I'm putting in all the work and not getting as much in return, but
that is part and parcel of this. Like, one of the biggest lessons I think we've all learned is look at what's happened to Twitter. You know, Twitter was a massive part of our marketing effort, and we still post on it, but we do, Brian.
I forgot that thing existed.
Well, that's the problem. Is it still relevant, or is it just now rant hole and, you know, just filled with bitter individuals who have crackpot theories. I don't know at the moment. No one does. But the reality is someone came along and went, I'm pressing lots of buttons. And as a platform, we've got no choice but to go, you own it, dude, whatever.
Yeah.
The same mm-hmm. could happen with Google and YouTube. So far, it hasn't. But they can come along at any point and go, eh. I mean, I had a really good example this week. I did some new Google adverts for some clients and for styleupyourpet.com, if you're listening in Europe.
Oh, Richard and, with his plugs. Always coming around with his plugs. The plugs for his pugs.
Styleupyourpet.com, the finest dog collars.
Styleupyourpet.com. No, and what I noticed is that the Google AdWords has changed significantly in 10 years.
Oh, jeez, yes.
The skills that I had 10 years ago transferred pretty nicely. It wasn't difficult. In fact, I'm better with the new model of AdWords than I was with the previous one. But it is something that shows you, you're just at the whim of them completely. If they want to change shit up, you are part of that. And if you don't keep yourself fresh, then someone's going to come along, probably AI-driven, probably one of Brian's friends, I don't know.
how do you go about building community? And that's a kind of a cheesy word, I suppose. But I mean, like, do you have a Patreon that you try to, you know, get a dedicated audience with?
No, or, I mean, I use Discord, and, well, for basically 2 years, I've been doing this Friday live stream, where people will send me their songs and I will critique them. And I've been doing it basically like, between like 5 and 10 hours every Friday.
Jeez.
For pretty much 2 years. I am currently taking a bit of a break from that because I'm trying to, mainly because I'm trying to figure out once again exactly what it is that I'm doing. It's super fun. I wear a lot of different weird hats and not like metaphorical hats. Like I actually have a rack of different hats that I put on.
A little different clothing all around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. which is kind of a funny metaphor for, you know, for me as well, wearing different hats. But, and I do silly voices and I have characters and it's a stupid good time. But it's, you know, it's very time consuming and I'm trying to do a lot. so I'm taking a bit of a break from that. I'll be back to it soon, hopefully. But that was like a big, you know, big like community time, like felt like a cool hangout. A lot of returning characters in the comments and all that. Right. And that's a really good way to communicate with the folks. And but let's see, what else? I mean, I would say badly is how I do it. I do it badly. A lot of people are really good at communicating with their, you know, creating a community and all that. And I guess, yeah, I'm trying to get the Discord popping off a little bit better. I've got this ongoing contest. So after this podcast is over, I'm going to have to go premiere the new contest reaction video. So it's an ongoing songwriting contest and I put up these reaction videos and there's a fan favorite winner who wins a prize. And so the viewers get to vote. And now I've just this month, I'm starting doing a weekly vote and then the leaderboard is in the Discord. And so that's hopefully going to make it a bit more fun. Get people talking a little bit more, you know.
What is the prize for this competition?
So this month, we've got a nice prize package, courtesy of Sam Hash. You can see it in the background here, but it's a PRS SE 277 baritone.
Oh, wow.
Nice. An Earthquaker, Hizumitas. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. What's the other thing? Some Daddario strings and strap. And yeah, it's a different prize every month. Last month we gave away some Wangs amps, which are pretty cool.
Is that how you pronounce them? I've never heard it pronounced properly by someone who's just, like, I know the guy from it, but only via email exchanges or text.
Yeah.
And I've always assumed Wangs, but somebody at some point said, no, it's Wongs. And I'm like, is it? You know, I couldn't tell. So I'm going
I have never
Wangs.
Been corrected.
Okay.
And Wangs is funnier, so I'm going to go with Wangs.
Let's all go with Wangs.
It might be the sort of thing, like when people say Wampler to me, I just smile and agree. Sure. Mm-hmm. We'll go with that today.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yep.
With YouTube, of course, like a person gets a little bit of ad money, right? What are the best ways right now, in your opinion, to like monetize that whole system?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, if you don't have something to sell, you're going to have a bad time because ad revenue is not great. Like AdSense, unless you're getting crazy views. So you have to have a thing that people want enough to pay real money for. And I sell courses. I have a songwriting course called Complete Rock and Metal Songwriting. It's 15 hours of everything I know about songwriting. And it's easy for me to sell that because I know that it's good and I know that it's something that people need very badly. And that's why I made it, because songwriting is the thing that I care about the most. And of all the things that I do, like all the stuff that we've described, it's definitely the thing that I'm the best at. And I didn't realize for a very long time that it's not a common skill for a lot of musicians. Guitarists, I've discovered, are good at coming up with riffs and ideas and not great at completing songs.
Mm-hmm. Not the truth.
And so true.
I don't know why I did. I just assumed that everyone cares about writing songs and they want to do it, and that's or that they're good at it, or that that's the primary goal. You know, because it makes sense, right? Like, why do we play a musical instrument? It's not so that we can learn riffs. It's so that we can create something of our own, or that's what I assumed. Some people, or a lot of people don't. They just do it for enjoyment or whatever, and it's totally fine. But I think a lot of people want to do it, but they just don't know how. So I made that, and it's basically aimed, I mean, anybody can get something out of it, but the people that I had in mind are people maybe in local bands or whatever. They've got a band. They don't really know what to do with it. They just want to be in a band. They want to play music. And they don't understand that writing songs is the most important thing. It's number one for sure. Yeah. Of all the stuff you can do. We get caught up in a lot of the other stuff, right? Especially on guitar, like the bar is set very high. You want to get good at the instrument, but why? What's the point, right?
What are you going to do with it, right?
What are you going to do with it? And So I was like, oh, okay. This is what people need this very badly. Let's show them how to do it. So that's, you know, that's my primary source of income. Like, as every influencer or whatever YouTuber has lots of little income streams, you know, lots of little revenue streams. That's my primary one. I have a lot of little ones here and there. You know, I sell cab IRs, camper profiles, like whatever. Having a course to sell is the main jam, because first of all, I feel good about it, you know? Like, I feel really good about helping people to get better at this thing that I think is very important. And so I'm not selling, like, you know, Herbalife bullshit or whatever. Like,
right. Wait, what?
Some MLM.
Try my vitamin pills. Thanks.
I thought I needed a detox.
The diarrhea tea. Mm-hmm. Cleansing nothingness. So that's good. Like, but whatever, you got to have something that's, you know, that you're, yeah, you have to have something to sell. And because if
something
you're not,
that resonates with your audience too, not like some sort of nonsense that doesn't matter to them.
Right.
Cause I've never sold anything that wasn't relevant to my audience, but I've noticed like a massive change when I was doing pedal collabs versus t-shirts, right? Nobody cares about t-shirts. Like five people bought the t-shirts.
Yep.
Lots of people bought the pedal collabs though, because that's the type of people that pay attention to my stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just like yours, like the songwriting course, you're making content about songwriting. They want more information. Perfect. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I think a lot of people though will go the other route and be like, I can't wait till I get that Casper mattress sponsorship and think that that's going to matter. You know,
yeah, there's a YouTuber that I follow out of the guitar industry. I think he's like in camping and RVing and stuff. And he'll, in the middle of it, he'll do a ad about cereal, breakfast cereal. And I'm like, what? I don't want to watch about breakfast. What are you doing, man?
Magic spoon. Come get your magic spoon.
I eat magic spoon like every day. But like, right.
What
so,
the hell is
I mean,
magic
I,
spoon?
It's like a low carb keto cereal. Quite
right,
tasty.
Okay.
It's like made with
I would
like
love to do an ad for that. Magic spoon, if you're listening to this.
Magic spoon.
Yeah.
This podcast Glenn is not brought to you.
Glenn has done spots.
Hold on. Whoa. Magic spoon, you need to come to England. We haven't heard of you. I'm your man. Screw these guys. Come to me.
That's because they don't know. They don't know that in England, cereal is called like breakfast loops. Like,
breakfast dinglies.
Loopy dingles. Yeah. Oh, you've had your loopy dingles today.
You say that like it's a bad thing. I mean, we do have honey nut.
They have loopy dingles and they have porridge.
You come get your porridge, please.
Porridge with Marmite in is the best.
It's because you guys are eating fucking beans on toast at breakfast and they're like, we're not going there.
Only a heathen would eat that for breakfast. That's a supper dish. That's to be enjoyed in the evening.
Oh.
You might have a small portion of it in your full English breakfast, but you wouldn't eat a full English more than once a quarter unless you wanted to die of a heart attack. It is saturated somewhat in fats and the good stuff that Blake likes.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that, of course, you want relevant... you want to be selling things that are relevant to your audience, not just because that's what they're going to like, but also because that's what you're actually going to sell. Like that's going to work. So, it's not the primary thing. And if you try to like, if all you're doing is pushing the thing that you're selling, you're not going to sell any. So
right.
It's actually works in your favor in every sense to think about serving your audience all the time. And then, you know, because they'll come back all the time and they'll trust you and they'll want to buy the thing that you've got. And if you're thinking about serving them as you're making the thing that you're selling or you're deciding what it is that you're going to sell, then everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's awesome. 100%.
Yep. Well, Trey, I want to thank you so much for doing this with us. To the Patreon members, Trey's going to join us for a few minutes, I think,
and then pop off for sure.
But tell everyone where they can find you online.
Sure. So the YouTube channel is just Trey Xavier, and if you're interested in the course that I was talking about, you can go to howsongsaremade.com. And the podcast is howsongsaremadepodcast.com. It's all about the songwriting process. And basically everything that I put out on the YouTube channel, everything that I put out on the YouTube channel is somehow related to songwriting or making music. So, subscribe there and, come say hello. And, that's the relevant stuff. I'm on Spotify if you want to hear my music.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Trey Xavier, and my band is called In Virtue, if you like metal. That's going to be there.
I heard so. You could do some country stuff, but we'll get on that on the Patreon. So let me thank our executive producers, Bill Bays, Jake Young from Man the Helm Podcast, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Knight Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Frostad, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, DJ Patty F, Dylan Talks Tone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Felicity who makes the annoying memes, Tom Kelly, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, Jordan from Poison Noises, Nick Spanio, the Twang King, excuse me, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Grumpy Mike, Harry Post, The Studio Rats, Harvey Petals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, and Bum Laser. So thanks everyone for listening. We'll talk to you next week if you're on Patreon, because you know you're one of the cool people and you like twice the content. Then head over there. We'll see you in a minute. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome Podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com, and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.